Why don't you shake somebody's hand around you, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Tonight, I want to pray for Eric Archer. He was admitted to the hospital with problems in his body, possibly facing some surgery. In addition, his platelets are at 15. Your prayers are appreciated. He is Sister Carrington Daly's brother and Brother Darrell Ward's nephew, so we certainly want to remember him tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. I want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy, sick, unable to be in the service tonight, so let's remember him. Brother Eddie Jablonski wants us to remember his grandmother. Pat Lebonski lives in Delaware, very sick right now, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Please pray for Sheila Chapman. She's in the hospital, has an infection, and her blood pressure is very high, so we want to remember that tonight as we pray, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Brother Albert Short, still in very serious condition, so let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Pete Lawson, who is sick and able to be in the service tonight, so let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. And there was a student over at school the other day. His mother's in the hospital with a blood clot in her leg, very sick, and we told him we'd put in a prayer request for her tonight. I don't remember exactly what her name was, but let's remember that prayer request as well. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Our God is able tonight to meet whatever we have need of. You believe that with all your heart. Let's stand and sing that Brother Harry, if you would, that second verse one more time, and we'll sing the chorus and we'll take these needs to the Lord tonight. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? It's good to be a Christian. Did you enjoy service here Wednesday night? The word of the Lord was outstanding, wasn't it? Praise the Lord.
Oh, let us know His presence that sounds of praises.
Tonight. We appreciate Brother Charlie Therese, don't we? Amen. God bless you, buddy. Brother Charlie celebrated his 92nd birthday. We praise the Lord for letting him stay with us, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless
you. You know, I've been sick. Been sick for over 2 months. And I prayed to the Lord. The way I pray was, Lord, your word cannot fail. If you say we've been healed, the word cannot fail. So I said, Lord, no matter how I feel, your word cannot fail. I'm healed. No matter what I feel, I'm healed. Pray that way. Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we know nothing is impossible for you. You transcend all natural barriers and make the impossible possible. My personal healings time and time again prove that. Not only mine, but the healing of very many others. People can't understand it, but it's simple. His word cannot fail. And what is there to understand if we simply believe it? It will come to pass. And so, Father, we bring all these requests before you, believing your word which cannot fail, Father. We would like to hear confessions, testimonies later on of all these requests that were made, Father. For your word is truth, your word is you, and you cannot fail. We leave it all in your hands, Father. We ask you to bless us now with your precious word, anoint the lips of your servant. Give us more understanding, more revelation. We give you all the glory and all the honor, for you are our God, our Creator, our Savior, our King of kings and Lord of lords. We bow before you, Father, knowing that things will work out according to that perfect will. And we thank you, Father, in your precious, glorious name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Go ahead and give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Amen. Oh, God is good, isn't he? When we're feeling bad, when we're feeling good, God is still good. Amen. Got money in her pocket or broke as Job's turkey. God's still good. Do you love Him with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service tonight, pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Don't forget, if you need to make, they're doing a new church directory. If you need to make changes, family size, moved, phone numbers, any changes that need to be made, they have forms for you in the library. So remember that. And the shoe boxes, please stay on top of that. Remember to get those back in for the children. Get those back in here as soon as possible. And we made an announcement Wednesday night, I believe it was. There's some unclaimed items over in the fellowship hall. Sisters, did you give that any attention on Wednesday night? Okay, if you did, fine. If there's still something that you feel like might belong to you, go over there and claim it if it's yours. And these guys I know will surely appreciate it. In the morning when I rise, what do we want to do? Somebody give me Jesus. If we start our day off with Him, we're going to have a good day. Regardless of what happens to us, we're going to have a good day if we start it off with the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Oh, let's sing it now. is. And from the looks of this old world, it's reeling and rocking. All sorts of things going on around us and in our world. But I'm glad that this world is not my final home. I'm passing through. And we're leaving a whole lot quicker than we was a year ago. Than we was a week ago. Than we was yesterday. We're on our way out of here. Aren't you glad about it tonight? We're on our way out of here. Yes, God is good. I know. Touched your life. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. You're singing so good. We got a couple of songs tonight. Brother Harvey, Sister Shirley, if you come and get ready, then Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, and Sister Tamika have a song. If they come onto the platform, we'll have our singers up here. Give these folks a nice hand as they come to sing for you tonight. We appreciate them, don't we? Amen.
God is certainly good to us.
Amen.
One day I was stumbling in darkness, and he brought me out of this present darkness into this glorious light. I can't imagine going back into that darkness. Stumbling alone in the darkness, I was looking for a light to shine, searching for a source of revelation to fill this hunkin' heart of mine. Oh, the greatest mystery the world's ever known was made so clear to me when the light of God's Word shined into my heart. And now my blinded eyes can see, and now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was, for He changed me when His light came in. No longer in the night, I'm a child of the light. I've been born again. So many are wandering in darkness, they're children of the night. They need a glorious transformation from the kingdom of darkness to light. For a long time ago on Resurrection Day, Jesus the light broke through to provide us a way from night to day, a path of light for me and for you. And now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was, for He changed me when His light came in. No longer in the night, I'm a child of the light. I've been born again, and now I see myself like my Father does. I'm not of the darkness like I was, for He changed me when His light came in. No longer in the night, I'm a child of light. I've been born again. No longer in the night, I'm a child of light. I've been born again.
To finish it. The world saw a man with a tree on his back, and they laughed. But God saw a son who He counted me. So much has been said at what happened at Calvary. Oh, but I believe He didn't just carry the cross. He carried me. Mercy held my broken heart close against His shoulders as He wept. And love beyond a moment scarred the hands and feet of one I've never met. The world saw a man die a martyr between two thieves. But God saw a lamb bridge the gap of eternity. Oh, He didn't just carry the cross.
Absolutely everything He would want out of our hearts.
That's right.
St. John chapter 9, verse 18. Let's go back to this little fellow here that refused to assimilate under the pressure of the day that he lived. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been in blind Laodicea and received his sight. Of course, you know, you realize for us to come out of blind Laodicea, and this blind Laodiceans looking at us and saying, you all crazy. But always keep in mind who it is telling you that. So it's the same with this setting here. Just keep in mind who it is that said, this guy was never blind in the first place. He said, are you kidding me? I'm the one who sat here all my life. I'm the one to know if I was blind or not. And he received his sight, and said, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means, notice they don't refer to a person, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who? Certainly not, they're not going to mention a name, are they? Just do it in a generic type of way to keep them out of trouble. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Well, let me say the same thing for me tonight. Those who want to run us down and say this and that and the other, I'm of age. Let me speak for myself. Are you all of age? Then let me speak. Let you speak. If you want to know if I was blind, don't ask Laodiceans. Ask me. If I was naked, wretched, miserable, and all of that. If you want to know, ask me. Ask me what this word has done for me. Amen. Let's pray together, would you? Heavenly Father, we so love you tonight. We're grateful, dear God, that we have been given this grand opportunity to assemble together tonight in this place. Lord, we have done it hundreds of times over the years. But Lord Jesus, as we get closer to the end of the way, I believe in my own heart, each time that I'm given the opportunity to come, it's more precious now than it was when we first built this place. It's more precious now, Lord, than when I first came here 20-some years ago. Oh, Jesus, you're just getting sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I pray you'd speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. We're here to feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So I pray that you would help me to be able to get out of the way. Because I know, Lord, if they've come to feed on the word, that means they cannot be satisfied by feeding on me or feeding on my personality or any type of injection that I would try to make. So help me to be able to get out of the way. I realize there is no perfect gift, and every man can only surrender according to the capacity and the ability that the gift gives him that. So I pray you'd help me tonight. I wish I could say my gift was 100%, that I would be able to so get out of the way that every word that would come out of my mouth would be, thus saith the Lord. But in reality, we know that's not possible. But I pray that you would help me, Lord, that I can get out of the way as much as my gift will allow me. And then I pray you would help them. They're also gifted. They're gifted to pull. They're gifted to hear. They're gifted to respond. So help them that they will be able to also get out of the way. Out of the way of their troubles and the worries and the things they've been through of the day. Help them, Lord, to put in their part in this service. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's go back and look at these parents now. You know, you really can't blame them too much, I suppose. The miracle has not happened to them personally. But you're saying any parents that would have a son like this that was born blind. We don't know exactly how old this man was because the Bible doesn't say. Not been able to find an account of it historically, nor have I been able to find in the message where the prophet said it. But yet, even if the man was in his teens or 20s or 30s or whatever his age would have been, you would have think most parents would have been so happy and so grateful that their son could physically see that they would want to take a stand with him. But yet, the thought that I want to deal with again carrying over from last Sunday morning is the stress of not assimilating. Now, we all know what stress can do. Stress is a killer. I believe that's one reason we've got so much sickness and disease. A lot of things we're dealing with today, a lot of it is brought on by stress. People are broke down. People in their minds, on their jobs, in their homes, in their families, in their churches. Everywhere you go, it's stress, 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 stress. I'm glad we've got a place we can run, though.
Amen.
But yet, we know that stress is an absolute killer. We know that stress physically can work on us. It can work on us psychologically. It can work on us emotionally. And to be under this type of stress must have been very, very difficult. And they no doubt weighed out the element of stress and chose the exodus or the way to go, which would produce the least amount of stress. Now they knew that by not really being identified fully with the son, how is he going to take it? So what would you have done? If it would have been your father and mother, and they would have given this testimony about you, and pretty much left you on your own, and they turned and walked away and left you to be able to face this mob by yourself, would that produce an element of stress? It would. Would it have the potential of you getting angry at them, maybe never speaking to them again? Possibly. Did they know that? Sure they did. But they must have considered the stress of being able to stand against the Jews so much greater than their own son. What's everybody else going to say about them not being identified with their own boy? What is everybody in the people in the community, the neighbors, everybody that's around them? So it must have been quite a difficult position for them to be in. And they're standing there, they're calling the carpet, as we'd say today, and now they've got to make up their mind, okay, what are we going to say? Let's think this thing through. What's the least amount of stress? Believe it or not, that's where you and I in the hour that we're living. We've got a stress in standing for truth. And there's a stress if we don't stand for truth. And then you and I as individuals, according to where, listen carefully, according to where our soul is from, is how we will stand and be identified. And every one of us will weigh it out as this mother and father did. Each of us will weigh out the way we consider to be the least amount of stress or the greatest amount of stress. And you will, from where your soul is from, it will lead you and guide you to take your stand. It won't just be because of mama, daddy, because some of you have had to stand against your parents. You've had to stand against relatives and friends and neighbors. And yet, because you considered that the right choice, you were willing to do it. Now, it's amazing that a person that is truly born of the Spirit of God, sometimes they will take the more stressful way. They will choose the way that is most despised. They will choose the way that is most misunderstood, most criticized. And folks look at them and say, what in the world is the matter with them? Are they crazy? No, they're making the choice based upon where their soul is from. Now, if your soul is from time, and remember, there's many folks living in bodies today, over 6 billion people on the face of the earth, and many of them have a soul which is not eternal. They have a soul that has the ability to choose right from wrong, a spirit which is made up of imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection, and they have all that in them, but their soul is not of an eternal existence. So therefore, they have a soul that's come to them in time, and when time ceases to exist, so will they cease to exist with it. But if you have a soul which is from eternity, that never started, never had a day it'll begin, never had a day it'll ever end, then there's a part of you that has something that will enable you to stand even under great stress. Now this man, of course, election has not really been taught in the New Testament view that much yet whenever this man takes his stand. So the man probably wasn't basing this upon a prior sermon knowledge of hearing election, predestination, foreknowledge taught. We don't even know that this man even heard of Jesus prior to this time. We don't know they heard the apostles going out when they were sent out two by two. We don't know really what prior knowledge or understanding that he has. He's basing the whole stand upon a personal experience. And it wasn't even a personal experience of his soul being changed, because it wasn't yet. It was just a personal experience that it so opened his natural eyes, and with it came an embodiment of an understanding for him to know this is not done by an ordinary man. Now, it actually so overwhelmed the man that it gave him a supernatural enlightenment. I'll tell you, brother, when I can see a miracle do something like this in a person's life, I really rejoice over miracles. Now, you and I both have seen miracles that happen in people's lives, and God would heal them, and God would move for them, but it does not do anything that ties into their soul. They get healed, and they turn in a prayer request, and 6 months from now, they're living the same way they did before they got the miracle. But this guy was so affected by the miracle that it actually come over from the natural body, and it so impacted his soul that it had an effect on him in an eternal way. Oh, Almighty. May God help us. And when you and I receive healings and deliverances and signs from the power of God, may it be more than just turning a prayer request in the morning or a testimony. I want to thank God. I got healed last night. I want to thank the Lord for it. But may it so impact our souls that it will not die. Now this is what had happened to this man. As I said, we don't really know how much understanding that he had from the teaching of Jesus or the teaching of the apostles. And being a poor man, no doubt he was not be able to do very much as far as the rest of the people was. But something had so impacted his life, unlike his parents. These words, verse 22, spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ. Now this is their problem. They don't have a problem with you saying Jesus was a man. But if you say Jesus was the Christos, the anointed one, then they've got a problem. This age don't mind us saying, well, Brother Branham was a pretty good man. And Brother Branham was like the rest of a lot of the good men. And Brother Branham was right with AA. I don't know, all the rest of them, they don't have no problem with that. But when you go to saying he is Elijah, their blood pressure shoots through the ceiling. When you go to saying he was the seventh angel in Malachi 4, even some that used to preach that. Now they got a problem with it. Well, that's their problem. It ain't mine. And this is our church, not theirs. Right? They don't pay the bills. We do. Hallelujah. So we can preach Malachi 4 at our church. We can preach Luke 17:30 at our church. Revelation 10. Because this is our church. And if you don't like it, don't get on the internet. If you don't want to hear it, don't get my CDs. Because I guarantee you, I'm going to keep on preaching it. You don't like it? Well, that's up to you. We love it. Oh my, I'm in it up to here. I sure ain't going back now. I'm going to keep on going until I get over here and then I'll get changed. Praise the Lord. Now, the Jews had agreed already. Jesus, of course, had already been quite a threat to them in several different instances, so they've already agreed together. And then this is why then the Bible says that his parents had said this. Thus, if any man did confess that he was Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogue. And I shared this word with you last Sunday, which is shamata. Whereby that they would be anathemized, or cut off from the whole congregation of the children of Israel. Now it did not mean that they wouldn't just be able to come back to church again, but they were actually put out from the church, the body, because remember, it was actually called the congregation of Israel. So you'd have no company within the children of Israel. You were like a publican and a sinner. So this struck great terror in the hearts of his mom and dad. And it would have put such pressure on them. And yet this man was a sensible man. You can tell from his talking that he was not a foolish sort of a fellow. He was not a man that did not have an element of understanding. And no doubt the man count the cost. And the man thought all this through. And he thought, but what can I do? I owe my loyalty to him who has done this miracle in my life. Am I to bow to the pressure of what the people say? Am I going to? Was it stressful for this man? I'm going to ask him one of these days because he's going to be there and I am too. And I'm going to see him. Ain't you? Now, so they're going to put him out of the synagogue. That is, excommunicated or separated them from the fellowship of the church. So it'd been very easy, looked like humanly, for the man to just kind of go away. Now remember, Jesus comes down and the man is blind, so he spits on the clay and he rubs in his eyes the spittle, and the man goes and he goes to wash in the pool of Siloam, and he comes back seeing. Now the Bible doesn't actually say that the man actually saw the Lord Jesus. So the man comes back seeing, and when he comes back, Jesus is gone. Now this is amazing, because in this is the very symbolism that God hides in the miracle of John 9. To me, this is one of the reasons why this is such an outstanding thing. Because in it runs a parallel. If you'll notice and look at this man's life, he was born blind. The whole mystery of the fall and the mystery of redemption lays in John 9. That's why this one is so wonderful and so supernatural in the sense that it goes beyond any of the other blind people that were healed in the New Testament, because the mystery of redemption is conveyed in the life of this one man. So this man was actually born blind. Well, so was I. So the man was born blind. He was blind all of his life. He was a beggar. So was I. So was you. So we were born blind. We were beggars. We were without the providential care and love of God. And yet something happened to the man. And then the Lord Jesus rubs this in his eyes. And he sends him over there to the pool of Siloam. And the man comes back seeing. So something happens into the man. And yet Jesus is not there. So he don't know exactly what Jesus even looks like. But no doubt he begins to ask around, said, who was that? What was it that done that to me? So they tell him that it was Jesus. So then the man has had very little experience thus far with Jesus. So he don't know what he looks like. He did hear his voice when Jesus sent him over there. And he comes back and Jesus is not there. Now Jesus leaves him to deal with the stress of the assimilating into what the Jews have said. Now this man's just went out there as a normal day. He's blind, sitting around begging. He wasn't asking for no miracle. Now listen to me carefully. This miracle differentiates between a true prophet of God and a false prophet or a preacher of this day that would pray for somebody and say the preacher's false and the prophet would be false and it would be their faith that would bring it to pass. That's not so in this miracle. This is not this man's faith that is actually doing this, but it was the Lord Jesus himself. Now this is what separates true prophets from false prophets. A false prophet could pray for you and your faith in that man of God or that so-called man of God, even though that man would be false, your faith in that promise and you could bring a deliverance and people would look at him and say, see there, he's a man of God. See, he's a man of God. When in reality, it wasn't his faith a bit more nothing, it was yours. But in this situation, Jesus does not tell this man, go believe, have faith, believe the word, confess the word. He just says, go wash. Now watch, this is by divine omnipotence that this miracle is being performed. This is what separates the call and the office of Brother Branham from false anointed ones in the last days. That many of his miracles was not as a false prophet or a preacher that was praying for people that had faith. It was omnipotence again working in the body in the last days. Hang on now, I don't want to offend you, but I want to tell you the truth. There's some times that I've prayed for some of you folks, you didn't have a bit more faith than a rat on a pile of corn, but it was my faith that brought deliverance. And I'll tell you one thing, come on, let's go a little tighter if you want to. If I'm a real servant of God, any man's a real servant of God, there'll be things that God will do through that man with or without your faith. Because he is a servant of God. He has that touch of omnipotence, but a false prophet, a false pastor, a false leader cannot do that because he, even though he may be anointed, he does not have omnipotence. Only the elect have that. Oh, I said a mouthful. I hope you heard me. Now you realize that this man is going to bring in this point later. So the man, there's something about the miracle that is so great. Because the man, his eyes are burning. And you imagine, you know how just a little bit of dust or a little speck. You know how an eyelash getting in your eye. It just burns and oh my, you just can't understand it. Getting out. Now, so can you imagine having someone to spit into dry clay and make a spittle and rub that in your eye. Not just topically now, but Jesus rubbing it actually in the man's eyes and they're burning. And oh my goodness, his eyes are tearing up and watering. He can't hardly stand it. He's got to get over to the pool of Siloam. And then who knows, the man might have been kind of aggravated and upset. Whatever happened to him, he knows it was not him that did it. Oh, if it had been him, it's, well, I don't know about that man or not. I had great faith. I'm a great Christian. I'm this and that and the other. There was something so supernatural beyond himself, you never find the man ever taking any credit to himself. Well, I believe God. I said the word. I testified. Justified, I've done this or that. He knew it was omnipotence. Oh my. He knew this was not a false prophet. He knew, and that's what I know about the prophet of God we're following. He's not just another anointed one. It was omnipotence in that prophet of God. Hang on, that same omnipotence lives in the bride in this day as well. We can get out of the way. Now watch, so they say, therefore, he said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Now, whenever the parents put it off and they pass the buck, as we say, then verse 24, then again, call they the man that was blind. Now, you're easy one to go out here and see the cows and the stars and the moon, you know, the horses and whatever out there. This man never seen it all of his life. And yet he's wanting to see it. All he's seeing is old dried up, sire puss looking people that's madder than a hornet, and they want to kill him and kill Jesus. He don't want to look at that. Neither do I. Neither do I. Oh, come on, children. I want to look at folks that want to serve God. I want to look at folks that want to hear the word and don't check our old man, men out of shape. Oh, I want to look at folks that say, come on, preacher, preach it. Seek him, boy. Seek him. Go after him. That's right, brother. Preach the word. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. Now remember I shared with you last week to putting him under oath. Give God the praise. Because we know that this man is a sinner. So how do you all know? Well, based upon what we believe, I say. Don't you understand that's what they're doing today? We know William Branham was a false prophet based on happy bodies of the devil. No, we used to be, but we ain't now. All of us at one time belonged to him, but I sure don't belong to him no more. As a matter of fact, I ain't belonged to him in a long time. Come on now, we know based on what? We know that this man is a sinner. Now they don't give any reference, and they're not going to lower themselves to discuss such deep theological things with a beggar. Would they lower themselves to try to straighten out somebody that used to smoke cigarettes? Ew! Somebody that used to spit backer out of their mouth and used to be a prostitute. Ew! Ew, what, you hypocrite? We're all lost, friend, whether we smoked cigarettes or sucked on them or chewed backer or whatever they done. It's all going to hell. So what they're going to do is just overawe the man. We refuse to explain to you why we believe this, but all we know is we know it. Well, he said, well, I don't know what you all know. We know this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. That's amazing. Instead of really investigating the miracle, they should have been investigating the man who done it. Just because they couldn't explain it. Now, there was things that looked like by the law that Jesus broke the Sabbath. You know, like trying to do Google the message or trying to Google the cloud or Google this, and you may, oh my goodness, there's things that it looks like. Oh my. You'd have been on that side if you'd lived in that day. Oh my, he broke the Sabbath. He done this, he done that. That man said, I don't know anything about all that. Oh, he keeps coming back to one thing. I know I was blind, and now I see. He don't go to Moses. He don't go to Ezekiel. He don't go here. He kept coming back to himself. Don't you understand, friend? That's what makes folks turn away from the truth. That's what makes folks turn away from the Word of God and something happening in their life. It's a shortcoming in their own experience. That's the problem. It's a shortcoming. If you've ever really been born by the breath of God, whether you understand all the particulars or not, nobody will ever be able to talk you out of what you know. You are, and what you know has happened to you. Guess where this man is facing? I know what happened to me. Hallelujah. That's amazing, ironically, how this guy turns this around on him. Because they said, we know he's a sinner. So he just turned it around and said, well, I don't know. You all say you do. I don't know. I'm not much of a theologian. I think he was quite a theologian myself. He was a practical theologian.
He did not debate the character of Jesus. Now what they're trying to do is make Jesus look like a sinner. That Moses said this, and here was Jesus, and he'd done the exact opposite. So how could a man be a prophet of God
and do such things? Well, you need to go back and hear the other part of my series I'm preaching on the prophets, and then you'll understand. Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know about that. Watch him, boy. He is so quick. He is so keen and so quick in his responses. If a man was able to do this without the Holy Ghost, what ought you and I to be?
Now watch where he always goes. I know one thing. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Why does he always go back to that? Because the supernatural, that's where he met God. In his own experience. Look, friend, it's wonderful to come to Happy Valley. It's wonderful to go to Jeffersonville and Tucson and read the message and listen to the tapes and read the books and all of that. But what about your own experience with God? Have you met God personally in such a way that if there's a million more questions that's raised up this year, that has nothing to do with who you are. That has nothing to do with what's happened to you.
Oh, glory. Then said they to him again. I imagine by now he's getting aggravated. Hey, the man's been blind his whole life. He's got all these things he wants to see. He don't want to answer the same question. Don't you see what they're doing? They're trying to trip him up. They're trying to see if he'll repeat it the same way each time. And if he leaves something out or says something, watch how they ask him, how did he do it? Why are they interested in how? They want the particulars so they can see if the hows fit under the breaking of the sabbatical laws. So they keep asking him and asking him and emailing him and texting him and putting him up on their phone. Oh, you can't answer this question, can you? Can't answer this question. Well, how come this and how come that? You're of your father the devil. Woo! The Holy Ghost never does such a thing. You never find Paul doing such a thing, Peter doing such a thing. It's always the serpent seed. Oh my. They said unto him again, What did he to thee? Yeah. Alright, everybody, get your iPhones and your droids and everything. Let's record this now. Wow. What did he do to you? And he said, I'm not telling you. Why? They want to use what he done against Jesus. I like this guy. Amen. Praise God. They said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Come on, tell us what he did. We want explicit proof. Was you hunting out a season in Arizona? Where is the record of them 16 men that fell off the river? How? And he answered them, I have told you already. Woo! People say, how in the world are you following that message? I have told you already. Well, ain't you about ready to quit? I have told you already, ain't no turning back. You say, how in the world can you follow something that you don't understand? I follow God, I don't understand Him. I follow the Bible, I don't understand all of it. I have told you already.
Glory. Good answer. Ah,
and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Now watch him. He's going to burn them a little bit. He's got the grill at about 1,001. Sprayed with Pam. Now he's going to scorch them. I've told you already you didn't believe me, he said. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? You YouTubers and forum seekers, are you listening to my sermons so you can get saved? Are you searching the message so you can find the way to life? Of course not. You're damning your souls to hell. So you know what he does? He just refuses to repeat the story. I ain't telling you again. I've got cows waiting for me. Them cows got more sense than you all do. There's dogs out there. I want to see old Bow Wow. I want to see the pigs. I want to see the camels and the horses. They got more sense than you priests have. Isn't it amazing that this man was so keen spiritually that he sensed that their questions was only leading... These guys should have worked for the John C. Press. I mean, their questions was only leading to a baited trap. They were only trying to pull something out of him. He said, you know what? I ain't meeting the press no more. I ain't saying no more. I done told you once and you didn't believe. You want to follow up? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I done told you once and you didn't hear. Will you be his disciple too? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness. I told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Now the stress is kind of going another way. Oh my goodness, can you imagine them? To be called a disciple of Jesus was a word that they used to defame people. Now to you and I, it's the greatest honor that anybody could say to us. But this was part of their slang in that day that they had developed, that you're one of his followers. You're a follower of him. Well, people said, yes sir, yeah, I sure am. But you imagine in that day, For him to turn around and say, hey, y'all want to come to the message? I got some extra books. Y'all want to believe the prophet of God? Hey, we'll give you our website and we'll tell you how to believe the sign. Really believe the sign. And man, we'll get you right on the right track. And we got some MP3s. And boy, we'll tell you how to really commit. Y'all want to believe? What? I don't want to know. I just, maybe I'm wrong, but I just find it hard to believe that when he got done saying that, that a little bit of a smile. He must have known that was a good one. You little smart aleck. Who do you think you are? Trying to tell us. Whew. Notice their reaction. Then they reviled him. The Greek word is lodilio, which is vilify, rail at. Not merely to rebuke, but to abuse by words. So just remember, when you do that to anybody, you're acting in the character of a Pharisee, not a Christian. To abuse by words. The verb means to reproach or scold in a loud and abusive manner. The Latin Vulgate version reads it this way. They cursed him. They thundered out their anathemas against him and pronounced him an accursed fella. They didn't just say, well, brother, we're going to pray for you that God will open your eyes and may God have mercy. Boy, by this time they was mad and they were screaming and hollering and thundering out, you curse to the devil! You're a cursed thing! You're going to hell here! Yeah. Oh boy, Holy Ghost preaching does the same today, don't it? So they reviled him. And then they said a curse on him. One of the worst things that could be said in that day. Yeah. Thou art his disciple.
Amen.
Amen. This is not complimentary. This is not meant in a complimentary fashion, Mother Dan. We're saying this because we know you want to hear. They are scraping the bottom of the barrel. They're going as low as they can go to say something that they think is going to humiliate and embarrass this man. You are his follower. Another smile. Oh my. Folks want to say I follow Jesus? Amen. I'll say that's exactly right. And let me update it from 2,000 years ago. They want to say I'll follow the message of the hour. Another big smile on my face. They want to call me a disciple of the prophet of God. 10-4 on that, buddy. That's exactly what I am. I don't blush. You should be ashamed. Ashamed about what? I am not backward about it. I'm not ashamed. I'm not bashful. I am proud to be identified with the word of God of this hour. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my. Boy, they go to the bottom of the barrel and they drag out their big gun and they said, you are one of them Branhamites. You follow that William Branham?
Don't we just say?
Amen. So? Tell me something I don't know.
Amen.
And they're looking at this guy. He's not crying. He's not bringing up, oh, please don't say that. Please don't come in there. Please don't come in there. Lately, all I've got is leaving on the moon. Him just standing around like he got good sense. They're just going to say, that poor idiot. We called him the lowest name, lower than a Beelzebub. They couldn't give him any higher compliment. So they revile him and they say, thou art his disciple. But we follow Luther. We follow 1906 Pentecost. We follow the Assembly of God. We follow the Baptist. We follow this. And you expect me to rejoice in that? You're going to try to lower me by calling me a follower of the message of Malachi 4 and you're going back to that vomit of Laodicea and you're eating that old vomit that you throwed up 20 years ago, 30 years ago. My goodness, children, you expect me to, oh, we'll put the shame on them. We'll put reproach on them. I'm glad to be identified with the message of the hour. Brother Donnie, all the pressure it's brought you, all the pressure it's brought me, I'm more proud now than when the pressure came. I'm glad hell identifies me and you in this church as being followers of this message. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, I am a disciple of Malachi 4. I am a disciple of Luke 17:30, Revelation 10. I am a disciple. Watch them now. They're very cunning. They're anointed of the devil. They're anointed of the devil. And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. But we are Moses' disciples. That has great meaning, and they intend for it to. Because they're setting forth that if you're a disciple of Jesus, you could not be a disciple of Moses. So in this day, they're doing pretty much the same thing. Except now they're not saying, well, we're the disciples of Moses, but they'll say, we're the disciples of Jesus, and you're a disciple of William Branham. You cannot follow William Branham and follow Jesus. That's the only way I figured you can follow him. I mean, after all, if you're Rebecca and you're going back in the rapture, there's only one way to get back to that man, Isaac, and that's follow the man that was sent to get you back home. Woo! Glory to God. If you're going back to Isaac, you got to get on that camel and follow Eliezer all the way back to the house. I guarantee you one thing, friend, the bride of Jesus Christ, she will not bend to the pressure of this age. She will not bow to the stress and the tension, but she's on the back of this Holy Ghost camel, and she's going to follow this message right back into the portals of eternity. I love this word. A disciple signifies one who follows another and learns of him. To be a disciple of Christ was the greatest thing that they could call that guy. Now you see, we're not the only disciples. We're only one among many, many disciples. Islam has disciples. Buddhism has disciples. Every denomination has disciples. Folks who've left the message, that's what they're doing, is making their disciples. Can you imagine some of these poor people? They traded a prophet of God for a businessman. They traded a prophet of God and a message and a godly church for a website. And look, whether you understand it or not, them websites is where they gather for church. They gather in them websites and they feed on all that trash. That's their church. But Jesus ain't there. The Holy Ghost ain't there. The blood ain't there. The atonement ain't there. Come on. Oh, if I'm going to go to church, I'm going to go where the Lamb is at. Amen. If I'm going to worship, I want to worship where the Lord God Himself is there. Don't you? Glory. Oh, my. So you imagine here, this little guy stands. Now he is identified among the elected apostles by being called a disciple. But he wasn't calling himself that. It was the enemy. I love for you folks to call me Brother Donnie. I love for you folks to say, well, Brother Donnie, stand with the word. But I love it when the devil says, Matt, God, I'm telling you what, he believes this, that, and the other. I love it when it echoes from the regions of the lost. I love it when it echoes from blind Laodicea. Go ahead and echo it, would you? Come on, children. Now, they said, we know that God spake unto Moses. And how do you know that? Were you there? So you're taking somebody's word for it, that it was written down? I mean, after all, in reality, come on, let's look at this thing realistically. God came down and wrote with his finger on rock. We only have one man's word for it. And that man was quite a high-tempered individual. And then he goes back up 40 days, and then he stays out another 40 days, and then he comes back down with the same thing, and we still only have one man's word for it. So we know, we're going to base, we know, on one man. Joshua says that this angel of the Lord came down and said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host, but we only have one man's word for that. I can go all night on this one man thing if you want, but I'm sure you understand where I'm going. But yet they knew. They were so cold. We know. Just as they know, so do we know. With just as much confidence. Come on, children. Oh, but you're taking so-and-so's word for it. Just like I took Moses' word that God meant it. Just like I took Paul.
Paul's word that God met him. Just like I took John the Baptist's word that God told him this and that and the other. Why? Because I am a believer. And my soul came from eternity and it unites with the word. I don't need to Google it. I don't need to Yahoo it. The only Yahoo I got is when I read it and I say, Yahoo! Yahoo! It's the truth! Glory! And I don't have to Google it, I giggle it. Cause when I know God proves His word, I giggle real big in life in the devil's face and say, you are a liar, Satan.
You realize, friends, if they'd had social media in the days of Jesus, Jesus would have been the top subject on all the local forums. Can you imagine all the trash and the nonsense that they would have said about Jesus in that day had they had social media? Jesus' face would have been plastered all over Facebook. He would have been the hot topic of YouTube and whatever all these other things are. I don't know what they all are. But if they would have had a local forum there in Nazareth and Galilee and Jerusalem, oh my, you'd have tapped in on Jesus and said, oh Lord, look at all this stuff. Oh Lord, I can't believe all this. Why, they're saying this and saying that and saying that. You know what? The folks that follow it today would have followed it then. And those of you who follow the word, you've been following Jesus then. Because the social media of that day, though it didn't move near as fast, it tried to set aside and it pulled away the elect of God, but you couldn't do it.
So here they stand in their theological robes. We know God spoke to Moses. We know it. God spoke to him in that burning bush.
Are you sure? Y'all don't look old enough to me to have been there. Some Jehovah Witness came to Brother Billy Andrews' house one time. He told me this himself. They said, there's Jehovah Witness. They opened the door. Billy opened the door and they told him they wanted to talk to him a little bit. And said, where's Jehovah Witness? He said, y'all don't look old enough. To have witnessed him personally, you don't look old enough. But notice how emphatic. Oh, you can be emphatic with something 1,000, 2,000 years ago, can't you? Because you're repeating history. It's always man's way to thank God for what he done, looking forward to what he's going to do and cannot see what's happening right in front of him. We know God spoke to Moses and we know God done this and we know that and we know it. But this man. We know God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow. Really respectful, wasn't it?
That's right. Uh-huh.
So they won't even call him brother. Won't even call him rabbi, teacher. But they'll bring him down to a base word that was used for common criminals. Fellow. This fellow. We know God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Oh. But didn't in St. John 7:27, they said, we know this guy. We know his mother. We know his father. We know his sisters. Oh, these guys have been good politicians, wouldn't they? You can keep your doctor. You can keep your insurance. I don't know who that man is. I don't know. They should have run for president or Congress or something. Now you've got it on record where they said, we know where this man come from. We know this. And now they're saying, we're not sure where he come from. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. And you imagine, friends, think of it. What if you were standing there? The greatest religious leaders of the day. Your mom and dad is now totally just dissipated into the crowd. You can't even find them. No brothers and sisters with you. Peter, James, John, even Jesus ain't there.
And here he's standing in the midst of all that stress. I said, oh God, I recant. I can't take it no more. But he just stood right there and the Holy Ghost would just drop another bomb. Man alive, he'd say something, he'd blow up everywhere. And then they'd get madder than a horn and the Holy Ghost would say this to him. And he'd drop that thing. And say, oh man, where in the world did he get that wisdom at? Why, herein is a marvelous thing. Let me tell you something, friend. He is not just speaking about Jesus, but he is actually involving himself. Herein is a marvelous thing. I was a beggar just a few minutes ago, and you all wouldn't even give me the time of day. And now I'm discussing the word with you. Herein is a marvelous thing. Oh my, may the Lord Jesus so work his power in our lives that we won't just look at the miracle and say, wow, what is a marvelous thing. But may it become so a part of us that we can say, herein is a marvelous thing. Here is a creature that was lost and blind and wretched and naked, but herein is a marvelous thing. He was able to take people that Jesus said they sat in Moses' seat, and he was able to tie them in knots. And the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened. Here he goes again. Mine eyes. It don't make God mad when we identify the word with us. Oh, glory. Why does he keep coming back to himself? Because he was the one the miracle happened to. How is he getting deal with all this pressure? He's keeping the miracle right before him. If you and I don't, we'll crumble under the stress of the day. Oh, thank you, Lord. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. And yet he, not my face in him, but he has opened my eyes. Now these are the guys that knew the scriptures, supposedly. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 4, say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. That man could stand there and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. Hallelujah. Don't you see why they hate him so much too? Because the words of Jesus are a living reality in his flesh. Listen to this man's further response in his little sermonette. Verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now this guy, I'll tell you, friends, he's quite impressive in his understanding. We know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth. Don't you see what the man is telling them? He is telling them this miracle was not done by my faith in him being a pretty good guy. This would not have been done if this man was not of God. Or not God. We know. Now y'all told me what you know. Now I'm going to tell you what I know. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. You're saying this man is a sinner. because you're trying to make situations look like he broke the word. But we know that God don't hear sinners.
So those of you that want to make Brother Branham a false prophet, the offer is still open. Come and have your prayer line here at Happy Valley. You heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Then, I'm just saying maybe now, then we might sit down with you and listen to your theology. But until you can prove omnipotence is in your life and not in your mouth, we're going to follow what we believe. Any of y'all on YouTube raise the dead? Any of y'all dissenters raise the dead? Come on now. Open up the eyes of the blind. God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of him and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Be sure and tape it, okay? Be sure and tape it the next dead man you raise, or the next person you give their sight, or the next little girl that comes up in the prayer line and you go to offer prayer for to receive her eyes. And then you say, oh, I forgot to ask you, what color eyes do you want? The next time that happens, be sure and send me a copy of it. What's a man saying this for? He is proving Jesus had an authority from God that no one else had. My goodness.
Well, like David, he took these Goliath swords.
You see, friends, this man had such an understanding of divinity of God. To be honest with you, when you read of this man, it must have been a supernatural power of God that was so empowering this man. This man has an understanding that there are classes of prayers that only special people can pray and then ever be answered. Now, this man is not saying that God will not hear a sinner to repent. God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of him. He's not saying that. But he's putting this type of prayer in a special class that only certain people can pray this way and it be answered and it proves who they are. You know, it's sort of like Elijah up on the mountain and the prophets of Baal. Oh, and that and the other, and Elijah Gomer said, hey, maybe he's gone through the drive-through. He's probably over at Dairy Queen. He'll be back after one. He's gone to lunch. Maybe he's on a far journey. Maybe he's over here. And boy, Elijah, I mean, was rubbing it in. Boy, about this time they got all torqued up, went to cutting themselves and jumping around on the altar. Elijah got to look and said, you know what? It's about time for the evening offering. I think you old boys have had enough. You've had almost 2,000 years of church ages. Woo! Now let Elijah build the altar. And he didn't go in there and offer the sacrifice on the top of their old altar, but he went in there and started from the bottom, and he started laying foundation stones, and he built it from the bottom up. Come on, children. And what did Elijah do? Then when he got done, he asked for water, and more water, and more water. Man, we can take this water of the washing by the word, but the denomination can't handle it. And he said, now, Lord God, I've done all of this according to your word. This is a special class of prayer that would only be answered to a special person. Hallelujah to God. And the blind man was saying this prayer was a special prayer. It's never been done since the foundation of the world.
He says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Can you imagine then whenever he preaches a sermon, he'd take off running. I'll be back in a minute. Whew. Glory to God. It's never been done before, and I'm the first one that it was done to. Woo! Do you understand? There has never been a mass rapture before. There's been a one-on-one. There was an Enoch and there was Elijah. But there has never been a mass body change on the earth. Amen. A body change happened to Abraham and Sarah, but it's never been thousands strong. It's never been globally. It's never been around the world. But we're fixing to be the first ones in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in the United States, in Sweden, in Norway, in Asia, in Africa, all over the world. Praise be to God. It's fixing to happen to us, and we're going to be the first ones in our class. Hallelujah. Oh my. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. The simple-hearted believer knows more about God than the unconverted theologian that studied the Word all his life. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. Dost thou teach us? Born in sins? Now remember, some of the Jews believed in transmigration of souls. Some Jews believed a baby could sin in the womb. And that if they sinned in the womb, God would mark them with blindness or crippled. So this is what they're telling the man. It proves you sinned in your mother's womb. You were born blind. And you want to teach us? I've got a Moody Bible. So? I've got a computer with Bible software on it. I've got about 8 spares just in case one tears up. But I got more than that. I got the breath of God. The Holy Ghost. You're born in sin. You were born blind. And you're going to sit up and try to tell you little idiot. What part of Kentucky are you from anyhow? Let's stand. I hope I can take the stress of not assimilating as good as this guy. You'd never think he's under stress, would you? I mean, just by looking at the story, it's sort of the way a preacher can be sometimes. Man alive, you say, man, that guy don't nothing ever bother him. But there's ways to deal with stress, and there's ways to deal with stress. I mean, you can go, ah! And then somebody calls 911 on you. And then they have one of them funny looking little coats, and then they shoot stuff in your arms. Or you can get along with God and you can pray and cry and be with us that way. We're all going to have stress. I guarantee those spies who listen to this service, they're going to be quite stressed out after this service tonight. So this service is going to produce stress in both ways. Glory. But if I'm going to be under stress anyhow, I might as well walk down the streets of gold with what the stress led me to. Why would I want to go down the corridors of hell? Why would I want to wind up in the tribulation period, maybe be lost, but turning my back on this world? Do I have stress with it on me? I do. Stress, tension, pressure. And I'm reminded of the prophet, and he says in 1963, I was thinking about it the other day, tension. And I got to thinking, but if it wasn't for that tension, that's what led me to God. And he said, what would I be if it wasn't tension? I'd be like a rag doll. He said, so after all, tension is a blessing. Boy, to be so blessed, y'all sure didn't amen that. Man alive, but Jim, you ought to have been screaming and hollering, shouting, running up and down the aisles. Y'all are one blessed group of people. Glory. Do I have all the answers? I do not. Can I explain it all? I do not. But all I know is, I was blind. I was wretched. I was miserable. Naked. But Jesus is not standing with this little guy, putting his arm around him. Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead. I'm with you. I'm with you. Peter ain't on the guidelines, on the sidelines. Yes, yes, yes. Looking around, ain't nobody there but him. Mom and daddy's gone. If he had siblings, they were gone. And there he stands. But somehow he don't feel alone. All is, he knows is the miracle has happened to him, and ain't nobody can talk him out of it. Do you understand? Nobody has ever had your new birth. Your new birth is custom fit just for you. Billions of babies have been born, but none of them had my natural birth. Mine was, you know, on its own, right? Same with my new birth. It's mine. It's mine. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I had one too. Yes, you did. But you know what? He can make it so personal that each one of us can stand like this man. And under the stress of the day and the pressure on your jobs and pressure at home and wherever you deal with it. And say, all I know is I'm not what I was. I'm changed. And I have no desire to go back. Hallelujah. Remember what Brother Dale preached whenever he was here on Sunday morning? If they were accustomed to, if they had a mind to, they could have went back. Abraham, you want to go back to the land of Gerar? No thanks. You want to go back to the land of Philistines, the land of Egypt? No thanks. Burn all my bridges. I can't get back. Y'all want to go back?
No.
Some of you that was Baptist, you want to go back to that Baptist church, that Pentecostal church? You want to go out there back to the world?
No.
Doing the things, remember getting up with a hungover and all kinds of track marks all over your arm and everything else? You want to go back to something like that? If you can, I'll tell you, you've not had what I've got. Amen. You imagine asking that blind man, would you want to go back to your blindness and eliminate all this stress? He said, are you kidding me? If this is what I've got to do to be whole and well, pour it on me. Amen. I'll take the stress to have my sight. May I say to you tonight, I will take the stress of being a message preacher to have the sight of Malachi 4. I will take the pressure of this day and the pressure that Satan could put on us in order to be illuminated by this word. Yes, I will.
Hallelujah.
I'm proud to be a disciple of this word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Donnie, what if they throw us out?
They probably will.
Really, I hope they're getting it all together now to excommunicate us from this earth. We'd have been thrown out of the church a long time ago. I'm wanting to be excommunicated from Satan's Eden. Where Satan says to us, like they did the children of Israel, would you all get out of here? Would you please get out of here? Would you take them preachers and them deacons and them trustees and them young women and them young boys, and would you all please leave us alone? Yes, we gladly will. At the appointed time, but we're not leaving until we've tormented the life out of you.
Oh, glory. So they take this little guy and they throw him out. So he has no church, no friends. Can't buy food from nobody. No mom and dad. He can no longer fellowship with them and they cannot fellowship with them. And when Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him. Aren't you glad he came looking for you?
Yes, sir.
This man then didn't go looking, Brother Jerry, for Jesus.
But when Jesus heard he was thrown out, Jesus went looking for him.
Amen.
Glory. Oh, happy day, happy day. They throwed him out of his church, throwed him out of his family, throwed him out of the synagogue, throwed him right into the arms of Jesus. So Laodicea, throw us out. Religions, denominations, dissenters, whatever more, throw us out. Do me a favor, would you? Throw me right into the arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. How many of you would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord in prayer? Maybe dealing with stress in your home, in your family, on your job. Stress and pressure of the Word, living up to the Word. For many of you, it's not a question of is it right? It's not that. The stress you feel is trying to become that image that you know is before you. And watching yourself constantly fall short of that. That creates such a stress on you. Such a pressure. It seems like you're never becoming what you know you want to be. And what you should be. And you believe it with all your heart. And then you get discouraged because you don't become that. That in turn creates more stress. Praise God. But remember, he who spoke this word, if he's given us these things, he's not given it to us to torment us, but he's given it to us so we can live by it. You do your part, and I guarantee you, friends, he will do his. Got to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Would you just raise your hand? My hand's uplifted too, both of them. Maybe if you don't have a need tonight, maybe you can pray for me. And pray for the rest of these here that raise their hands. Lord Jesus, most of us have never been through what that little guy went through. I admire him. I've always admired him. Lord, I preached about him very often back in Pentecost even. John 9:31 was a scripture that I committed to memory. My 35, 37, something like that years ago. Because it seemed so powerful. I didn't understand it then. But after looking at this now, I see why. Lord, may you help us. We don't want to bend under the pressure of our day. No doubt each of these people tonight, those that stream in the service, they have their own pressure and stress. And there's a great stress with not bowing. Lord, I pray for your strength. We need strength to endure the stress. Yet we know tension can be a good thing. For these people who go home tonight and they have a garage door, if they go home and they push the button on their car or the button on their visor of their car, and the garage door won't go up, they take a key and go in the front door and they go in and they see either one or two, according to the size of their door, one of their springs are broken. The door is there. The garage opener has battery power on the visor. It has electrical power in the ceiling on the unit. But yet the spring, which remains under constant tension while that garage door is down, is broken. But it's actually that constant tension when that garage door is down is what brings that garage door up when we push that button. It's not the electric motor alone that does it. It's the tension of those great big springs. As Carol and I had one to break a couple of months ago. And the door was so heavy, I had to have some brothers to come over and help me open it up to get Carol's car out. The button still worked. The motor worked. Had power. But the spring was broke. And the spring being under constant tension when the garage door was down, it would not get up. Help us to realize, Lord, this tension that we deal with, one of these days, the button as it was is going to be pushed in heaven. And the door is going to raise. Hallelujah. We don't ask to be tension free. We don't ask to be stress free. We don't ask to be trouble free. We ask to be faithful and true. If you can give us a break every now and then, Lord, a break from our stress, a break from our tension, we'd appreciate it. Lord God, you know how to renew us. You needed that yourself when you were here. You'd pull aside and rest a while and get a break from the stress. I don't ask to be stress-free, trouble-free. I just pray you'd be mindful of me and help me. Give me enough sense to know when I need a break myself and to take it. I'm not sent to save the world. I'm not a Superman. I'm just an ordinary human. Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Help these mothers and fathers. Lord, may the parents in this assembly, may they be more sensitive to each other. I found sometimes, Lord, that the housewives trying to raise their children, several of them here, Lord, homeschool their children. They live under such stress. Help the husbands to be sensitive, Lord. Then in turn, the wives, they can have lives that are so full of stress. Their husband can be under such stress. And he comes home and, oh, he'd like to share the day's troubles, but she's already unloaded on him, told him what a stressful day she's had. So he keeps his stress to himself. Help us, Lord. Help us to make our home a heaven. Help us, Lord God, that it can be a haven by which we come. And there we find solace, dear God. Oh, Jesus, may this house here be a haven, as it were. Here we come to meet our lover, our Lord, our King. Hallelujah. We hear Him speak to us, and then we speak back. Oh, Jesus, here tonight, Father, we're asking you for strength, courage, help, Lord. Praise be to God, and we believe you will. When the world has thrown me out, Lord, when they've tossed me aside, if my family won't have nothing to do with me, message folks are ashamed of me because of what I preach. If they excommunicate me, Lord Jesus, as long as they throw me into your arms, I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Minister to the very weakest, the very youngest that has a need, to the very oldest. Preachers, deacons, housewives. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. We beseech you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just raise our hands in the breezes of His presence. We're gathered here tonight, saints, in the presence of the great King. Let's just take a moment now. Let's move beyond this building, if we can, by faith, up into the Shekinah light of God. There we come before His throne. There around that throne is that great, brilliant, omnipotent light. As mortals, if we would start to approach it, immediately our hands would have to cover our faces and our eyes because of the brilliance. It would nearly blind us. It would be so bright. Don't be afraid, though. Our attorney is there to speak on our behalf. Let's, by faith, leave this building now. Walk past our bills. Let's walk past our family problems, the stress on your job. Let's walk into the presence of the King. Can we do it? We can, because we've been beckoned. He Himself has personally invited us to come into His great august courts. We will gather there around His great throne. We will worship. We'll praise. We'll lift up His name. We will minister to Him as His wife. He will minister back to us as our husband. And Carol heard it just before coming to church. Lord God, where your prophet said, the wife, the bride, ministers to Christ. He said she takes the word and ministers to Him. I thought, what a profound statement, that the bride ministers. Lord Jesus, you've, for the last hour or so, you've spoken to us. Now we want to minister to you. Oh, great Adonai. Hallelujah. We want to minister to you, Lord Jesus. We're not bringing our burdens so much, our worries, our troubles, our tension, our stress. We want to bring our love. Lord, help me not to be the kind of Christian that the only time I talk to you, the only thing I give you is my burdens. As a preacher, I know how that is. I know how it is, Lord, when some people, the only thing they ever say to me, it's not how blessed they are. It's not how much they're helped. It's this trouble and that trouble and another trouble and another trouble and another trouble. I never hear for some people. Never hear one kind thing. It's always one burden and one trial and one difficulty. And then they won't even have the courtesy to let me know when God answered that prayer. But they leave me hanging for weeks or months wondering what the outcome was. I don't want to be that kind of person, Lord. I don't want to be that kind of person that the only time I come to you is when I'm down and sick and weary and I've all the time got bad stuff to say. I want to come with good things on my heart, Lord. Oh, I got needs here tonight, Lord, but I don't want to mention that. I want to come to magnify your name. I don't want to mention no troubles right now, Lord. I didn't come to ask you for anything. I just come to talk to you. Oh, there's how many prayers that you've answered? A million prayers or more that I forgot to thank you for. But I just came to talk to you, Lord. I just come to tell you how good you've been to me. Come to tell you I love you so much. Oh, come to tell you, Lord, I don't know where I'd be without you. I come to tell you, you mean more than life to me. I come to tell you, I can't wait to see you. I can't wait to take my hands in my new body. And I prostrate my new body down before your feet. And I reach over to your precious feet. And I kiss your feet. And I take my hands and I rub your precious dear feet. And you reach down and touch me maybe on the shoulder or the head and tell me to get up. And I get up and I stand before you and I look into your wonderful precious eyes. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. I long to see you, Lord. I don't want to just leave this world because it's full of trouble. I want to leave this world because I get to go to you. You're not just an alternative to this mess. You're the greatest desire of my heart. Oh, Jesus. I want to see you, Lord. I want to touch you. I want to talk to you. I want you to take your hand and touch me, Lord. I want you to take your hand that day and rub the tears, the last ones that I'll ever cry, out of my eyes. And I want to hear you say to me, not Brother Branham, not Paul, not Peter. I want to hear you say to me, whatever my name is, don't cry no more. I saw you stood down there for me in that day when it was evil. I saw what you went through. Your wife then never knew the extent of it. Your daughters, your grandchildren, your brother, your deacons, the people at your church. They never knew what you went through. But I saw every day of it. Every moment you could have compromised, but you didn't. Now I want to say to you, enter into the joys that I prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, my God. My God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can now, just try to lay your burdens aside. Your troubles, your worries. Let's go to him without a burden now. Without unloading on him. Let's just go to him with love and praise and adoration. Just raise your hands. Close your eyes now. And you, that individual member of his body, you as an individual, as bride, as elect, tell him how you feel about him from your soul. As he come to the little man and he said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? That Jesus just individually come to you tonight. Oh my. Do you believe? Do you believe, church? If he'd say to you, do you believe? Do you love me? Do you want to worship me? You want to love me? You want to adore me? Tell me what you think about me. Tell me what I mean to you. We all know how we want to hear that. Husbands want to hear it from their wives. Wives want to hear it from their husbands. Parents want to hear it from children and vice versa. Don't you think our Lord wants to hear it? He don't want Brother Louis to have to coax you into praising him. He don't want me have to coax you into and tell you like a child over and over. All right, everybody tell me you love him. Everybody tell me you love him. Oh, what it means to him whenever you do it on your own. Just from your soul. You just tell him, Lord, I love you. Lord, I worship you. I adore you. I'm so glad to be one of your disciples. I'm so glad to be one of yours, Lord. Lord, I'm so glad to be one of your preachers. I'm so glad to be one of the voices of many waters in this last day. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, that I had 10,000 voices tonight. Lord God, that I could make this building ring with the accolades of praise. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you, if you would, to turn and lay your hand on that person standing by you. We're going to offer prayer for all the pressure valves in church tonight. No doubt each of you in your own way, whether you're young, old, married, single, whatever you are, divorced, you got pressure, tension, stress. But I don't want you praying for yourself. I want you to pray for that person standing by you, that God will help them. If it's a mom, if it's a dad, a businessman, whatever it is, that God will help them dealing with the stress in their life and their home. Lord Jesus, I feel from you that I have your permission, Lord. Now that we've given you some love and some adoration, I feel I have your consent to be able to bring now our needs before you. Lord, you alone know what every one of these people are facing, what they're dealing with. Some of them a lost companion, a backslidden wife or a husband, backslidden children. Lord, maybe finances, maybe the stress of trying to be a businessman and being honest, run it with integrity and character. Father, these children going to school, some of them going to college. Lord, these preachers, these deacons, trustees, Brother Jim in the library, the brothers who work here at the church. You see the stress they've been under here, Lord, this year. Lord, some of the things that we went through, and it's been a great stress on them. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, Father. Oh, hallelujah. For the presence of God
to just come and help us. Lord, we're not foolish people. We're not going to ask you to make us stress free. We're not going to ask you to make our walk free from tension. I could not look Peter in the face and stand there before him, Lord, and you, and pray such a prayer. But I pray, give us strength to bear it, Lord. Give us courage. May the presence of God, not only, Lord, in this building, but go out on these internet connections tonight, Lord God. Those that will be streaming this at live, and those that will go back and archive it from different parts of the world, many nations around the world. May the presence of God go to them right now, Lord God, I pray. Hallelujah. May you minister to your people, Lord. Give us strength. Give us grace. May we stand like this little man, Lord. We'll not bow to the stress. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We receive it, Lord. We have asked in faith. Now we receive. I receive your strength, my God. I receive courage from you, my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your loving children. With all your hearts. Praise be to God. Let's just give him a wave offering now, can we? Hallelujah. Hey, let's sing something together as we worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you for strength, Lord. Thank you for courage. Thank you for determination, oh God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
At the feet of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Greatness
of mercy. Yes, Lord. Sweet Jesus, holy, 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 holy. Oh, just make love to him now, children. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy is the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.
Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The
greatness
of
His
mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. The bride cries,
God. Amen.
Ain't it good to be a Christian? Let me tell you something, friends. And you're going through things, and you're praying, you're waiting, and you're praying, you're waiting. And you may think, Lord, when are you coming? When are you coming? When are you going to move? He may not come when you want him to, but he'll always be on time. That little man might have thought in his mind over and over again, where is that man that has caused me all this trouble? He didn't know what he even looked like. Didn't want to even look up. Where is that man that caused me all of this trouble? But at the right time, Jesus showed up. Amen. Let's sing it together. Oh, he's an on-time God. Well, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on-time God. Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's a long time God. Yes, he is. Let's sing it now. Oh, he's a long time God. Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there.
they all bow. Well, I heard they're gonna throw me out. I heard they might even kill me. But when they threw me out, there stood my Lord and said, come unto me. Oh, and all my God. All my hallelujah. Oh, yes, he is. I said, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Come when you want him, but he'll be there. Back several years ago, when he felt them pains as a rushing in his heart, to the doctor he had to go. While there in the ER waiting, in walked the servant of God. Yeah, he said, don't you know Almighty God? He come now on this earth I trod.
God.
Oh, hallelujah! Glory! He's an all-time God. Glory! Hallelujah!
All-time God. Yes, he is.
Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an all-time God.
Yes, he is.
Bride has took her chain. We could go and ask her, did it come when you thought it would come? She said, no, Russia was ready, and America was going down. Oh, but right before the bomb ever hit the earth, I stepped in my wedding gown. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he's an all-time God. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.